It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18+. Hey, guys. Duff at Rogue Intel here. Tonight's episode didn't sound as good as it could have. We're still working out the bugs with the new mixing system. Bear with us. I know it doesn't sound great. I do apologize in advance, but we didn't want to just scrap the episode. We wanted to give you guys something to hear. So without further ado, here's episode number 7 of Rogue Intel Prime.
Warning. The following show contains harsh language and may contain certain content, opinions, and/or explicit humor that might be interpreted as objectionable by those without a thick skin. This show is recommended for a mature audience.
Hello and welcome to Rogue Intel Prime, episode number 7 for Thursday, January 29th, 2015. I am your host, Duff, and with me as always...
Carrie.
Hello, Carrie. How are you?
I'm here because I don't want to have to pay a fine.
Jesus. We'll get to that later in the Winners of the Week segment. Right now, before we get into the headlines, I just want to give you guys a big update. A couple of updates, not so much big, but yeah. Let's just start off by saying that Saturday was a very important day for Rogue Intel. We upgraded our audio interface for the studio. We upgraded to a fully fledged Xenix mixer from Behringer, and I have to say it is by far the most advanced piece of AV equipment I've ever gotten the chance to use, and I'm loving it, and it's going to make the show a whole lot better. First things first. Phone calls. We'll be able to take live phone calls on the air using the mixer itself. So it's going to make things a lot easier for me for post-production, and it's going to be more interactive for you guys. Speaking of interaction, we've got the Rogue Intel forum online at rogueintel.com/forum. Feel free to go there and participate with the happenings of the show. And if you'd like to be on the show, you can call us. We have a new number. We'll get to the number later on, though. What do you say we get into the headlines?
Do it to it.
All right. You like Tom Petty, right?
Yeah, he's not bad.
All right, well, do you like Sam Smith?
Never heard of him.
Sam Smith is one of those new pop artists, and he's got a song called Stay With Me. It's been at the top of the charts for quite some time, but anyone who's heard it and was a child of the 80s like yourself and myself knows that it sounds a little bit like Tom Petty. Well, what do you say we just get into the clip so you can see what I mean?
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? You
know I want. And this is, of course, Tom Petty.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but
we don't need to listen to the whole clip, but what I will tell you is that NME is reporting that the royalties from Stay With Me are going to get a little fatter in Tom Petty's pockets. Sam Smith is actually going to have to start paying royalties for the single Stay With Me to Tom Petty. If you have a set of ears, which I don't know why you'd be listening to this podcast if you didn't, you can definitely see the similarities. It went to court, and there you go, royalties. So good on Tom Petty. I'm sick and tired of artists these days sampling others and not really being original, which is why I didn't even know Sam Smith was as popular as he is until I read this article. I've heard the song. I don't listen to a whole lot of radio, though, so just because I like originality. So it's pretty cool that they're doing right and Tom Petty's getting a little piece of the action there. Something I will say, today on Tom Petty's website, he did release a statement about the Sam Smith thing. He was quoted to say, "Let me say, I've never had any hard feelings towards Sam. All my years of songwriting have shown me that these things can happen. Most times you can catch it before it gets out the studio door, but in this case, it got by. Sam's people were understanding of our predicament, and we easily came to an arrangement. The word lawsuit was never even said, and was never my intention." So good on Tom Petty for kind of clearing up the waters, and congratulations on getting some of the royalties, because I don't think there's any way in hell this was an accident. I think it's, what can we get away with?
Well, that's the way most of them are.
Well, again, that's why I don't listen to pop music. I tend to steer towards originality rather than popularity. Call me weird.
You're weird.
Thank you.
And our next story is from Engadget. Swipe wants to own your wallet. And what Swipe is essentially a little device that will take the place of up to 25 either credit cards, store loyalty cards.
Gift cards too, right?
Yeah, also gift cards.
Nice.
And it'll allow you to use just one thing. Now, it's a little on the pricey side, unless you happen to get in on the pre-order for $49. It'll be $100 once it comes out in the fall. To me, it's nifty, but it's going to be quickly by the by once technology changes and credit cards have to have chip and PIN technology in them to even work in your regular stores. Not to mention, not every gift card or loyalty card has a magnetic strip on the back of it, and they don't offer barcode scanning at this point. So that, and most smartphones, you can do Apple Pay, you can do Google Wallet, and you can just deal with it that way. Having another piece of tech on you is totally not even needed.
I can actually agree with what you're saying. Chip and PIN technology is used the world around, and we are one of the few that are kind of behind in the game. They've been using it for years, and until Apple Pay, and I hate to say this, but until Apple Pay came out, it really wasn't something that picked up at all. You've got your Exxon swipes, which are chip and PIN, that are linked to your credit card. You've also got things like Google Wallet. Any Android phone that's modernized or that has NFC can technically do what Apple Pay can do. It's just that some vendors don't let it do what Apple Pay does. It's the same technology. But until America, or North America, rather, decides to move up with the times, this is a viable piece of technology that is more secure than a traditional magstrip credit card. A, it's got security. If you walk away from it, if someone steals it from you, if you forget it, it will lock itself. You'll also get an alert on your phone that tells you, hey, out of range. So it'll save lots of heartache. It'll save lots of stress in the future. That, and if you don't authenticate it to use a certain card, and you can set up a PIN, even though it's only got three buttons, you can set up a PIN on this. You can set it so when you swipe it, it does not do anything. So it's better than traditional cards. I agree with you on this as well. I don't know that I would even use it. I'm holding a Google Wallet credit card in my hands, and I haven't even activated it, nevertheless pulled the activation sticker off the front of it. So it's cool tech. Will you get one?
No.
No, neither will I.
Well, from reading the article and some of the comments, it looks like 2016 is when the U.S. is going to force it through for having chip and PIN. So even if you buy this version of it, 2 years from now, you've essentially wasted $100.
I don't know that that's the case, because it does have NFC built into the card. So it should theoretically, and I haven't confirmed this, but it should theoretically be able to communicate with any of the swipe systems that are currently in place for Apple Pay or Google Wallet. But if you are interested in getting one, you can go to swipecard.com. That's S-W-Y-P, not S-W-I-P-E, because, you know, it's Internet 2.0 and all its goodness. You can pre-order it for $49, but don't procrastinate like me. I'm a big procrastinator, because once their pre-order stock has been exhausted, you'll have to throw down $99 for it when it comes out this fall. You like sex, right, Carrie?
On occasion.
Well, apparently you're not the only one. The New York Times took a look at the data behind Google searches this year, and what they found is hella interesting. These results are from Kotaku, as well as New York Times, of course. How many people would you think per month search the term, how to make my penis bigger?
Every male in America?
Well, not every male. I'm a male, and I've never searched for that.
Clear that cache.
Never. And I'd be honest with you, too. But nope. Well, anyway, 4,250 people per month have searched that term. And the list goes down from there. How to make my penis larger at 3,600. How big is my penis? Why would you search that? Just get a freaking ruler. 3,192 people search that. And the penis list goes down, all the way down to, why is my penis so small? 1,663 people per month.
I have to say my favorite one is, why does my penis smell?
Yeah, 1,933 people said that one. And the list goes on. If you go over to the New York Times report, it goes on and talks about marriage and relationship status and a whole bunch. For example, 972 women have searched, why won't my husband have sex with me? And, to my defense, 1,048 people have said the following about, why won't my wife have sex with me? I'm probably sure I have actually searched for that one. Love you, hon. It's a pretty interesting read, so go over to the show notes and check it out if you want the link.
Well, I guess we have to join the rest of the U.S. and get into some Super Bowl shenanigans. The first story we have is from Adweek, and it's good old GoDaddy. And this time, instead of having a scantily clad bimbette strutting around trying to sell you domains and web hosting, they decided to do something cute and cuddly with a puppy.
Yeah, I don't even want to play the video. It is linked on our show notes, as is everything else. I know you're getting sick of hearing that. But it's the plain truth, people. Show notes on the website. You know it. Gonna mention it. Deal with it.
And the commercial depicts a truck going down a country bumpkin road. Bumpy. There's box o' puppies in the back. And from a distance, you see the truck hit a bump. Puppy goes flying out. Hopefully it wasn't a real puppy, but GoDaddy being GoDaddy, who the hell knows? Well, it then turned into let's follow the puppy through this arduous journey to get back to its loving family, only to turn out that this cunt woman, and yes, I said cunt, is, oh, there's Buddy. I'm so glad you made it home.
Because I'm going to sell you on a website.
Yeah.
Let me get something straight with you guys. I was a GoDaddy subscriber. I used to do website management and development. So I have used GoDaddy for my clients as well. And not a one of my clients who have had to actually deal with them rather than me have enjoyed their experience. They play this craptastic music on their hold system. They have stupid policies. They lock you out of certain things that any web developer should have access to. And I am glad to say that I've been free of GoDaddy, including my domains, for about 3 years now. I'm now using HostGator. The website that you're looking at is brought to you by HostGator. And I'm paying less than I was for more option. And will I ever go back to GoDaddy? No. GoDaddy has tried to remain relevant by showing race car drivers in little to no clothes and teasers that want you to go to the website to see the rest of this uncensored video. It's all a bunch of marketing hype, and quite frankly, it's malarkey. It's straight up bull. And I think they've pretty much shit their shorts on this one. It was a stupid idea to do it, and they have said that they are not going to post it because, of course, all of the SPCAs and the rescue organizations have hit to Twitter and Facebook and basically blasted them. And GoDaddy CEO Blake Irving has responded to the ad's critics, stating that we will not air it. So we will see. Unfortunately, we will see something from them come game time, but I don't think you have to worry about seeing this one. Also in Super Bowl news, you like the dude, right?
Can't say that I do.
You don't like Jeff Bridges?
No.
Well, why the hell not?
He just doesn't do it for me.
Well, let's take a listen to this clip.
Humming tune here. This is one that I find I fall into in my acting when I'm preparing for a scene or whatever. My makeup man, Thomas Nellen, gets a kick out of this. It goes something like this.
Me now.
I know. I mean, I love Jeff Bridges. I've loved pretty much every role I've ever seen him in. I love his voice. His voice acting is great. This is a little bit crazy, though. Jeff Bridges recorded a whole album of lullabies just for a Super Bowl ad. This one is coming from Squarespace, which is another web company out there. They put together a commercial that basically shows the making of this album and shows that Jeff is out in the woods with a Wi-Fi card and a laptop, and he's recording all these songs and posting them to his Squarespace website, which, if you're interested, is dreamingwithjeff.com. Of course, built with Squarespace. I think it's a great ad technique. I think it's hilarious. I can't wait to see the finished commercial come Super Bowl time. I just wanted to bring this to your attention because I thought it'd be worthy of a kick or two.
Well, I am pleased that whatever they make off of this album will go to charity. I would have been more impressed if they would have spared us the agony of this and just made a donation to the charity.
Yeah.
Well, we have one more Super Bowl thing to go over here, and it's a BMW commercial. It has Katie Kirk and Bryant Gumbel. And if any of you are as old as I am, or thereabouts, and remember seeing them on the Today Show back in the 90s, trying to figure out what in the world is the internet.
Well, in case you don't remember, let's go ahead and play a small clip of it.
Back now at 56 past, I wasn't prepared to translate that.
That's
that
right.
Little mark with the A and then the ring around it?
At?
See, that's what I said. Katie said she thought it was about.
Yeah.
But I've never heard
or
it.
Around
I've never heard it said. I'd always seen
around
the mark. There it is. At amfeedback.com. I mean, what is internet
that,
anyway? What do you write to it like mail?
There's Allison. Can you explain what internet is?
Can you explain what internet is?
And that wasn't doctored at all. That was a real broadcast that went out on the Today Show back in 1994. And rightfully so. Who the hell knew what the internet was besides me and maybe you? Because we're nerds.
Yes, I am.
Proud of it. Well, 21 years later, the commercial shows Brian Gumbel and Katie Couric seated side by side on an seated side by side in an i3 from BMW. And now they're talking about a little something different. Let's play it.
See, that's what I said.
What do you mean there's nothing under the hood?
Katie said she thought this was a car.
Yeah.
And it's built using wind, like from a windmill?
Or a fan, or a turbine, or a fan vine.
Wow. I mean, what is i3 anyway?
Allison, can you explain what i3 is?
The all-electric BMW i3, built in a wind-powered factory.
Yeah, yeah, we're not going to play any commercials from BMW aside from what's relevant. What is your take on the commercial, being that you do work for a BMW dealer?
I think it's interesting to see a different take other than, you know, some glossy, let's drive it quickly with the flashing lights and little glimpses of the interior. You know, take it to what most people think, especially the older generation when they get into your non-typical vehicle. They are going to be asking, where is the engine? How does this thing work? You know, so it's nice to see good old German engineering, you know, having a laugh at itself, kind of. And, you know, it to me will get more people interested. Granted, it's a butt ugly car, expensive, but it's BMW quality, even if it is ugly.
Totally agree. And that is it for our headlines. And let's get into the history rewind. In 1920, Japan company Toyo Cork Koyo was formed. This company later renamed themselves as Mazda.
Zoom, zoom.
Stop! What? Stop it!
What?
It's a Miata!
In 1934, Sam Goldwyn buys the rights to L. Frank Baum's The Wizard of Oz. It's such a shame because he later died in 1974 this week, which is actually much later. In 1969, the Beatles performed their famous rooftop concert at Apple Records. It would be their last public performance. The album that was recorded from those songs would be Let It Be. In 1973, Stevie Wonder's Superstition hits number one. In 1979, The Dukes of Hazzard premieres on CBS. In 1984, Michael Jackson caught his hair on fire while filming a Pepsi ad. And in 1986, I know where I was. Do you know where you were? The Challenger explodes. I was homesick, watching TV with a fever. What were you doing?
I was at school like a good child.
In 1756, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was born. In 1930, Gene Hackman was born. In 1951, Phil Collins was born. In 1957, Eddie Van Halen was born. And in 1974, as we said earlier, Sam Goldwyn died. And that has been our history rewind. So, tends to be a reoccurring question. How's your week been?
Same shit, different day.
I hear that. As I said earlier on in the episode, the weekend was pretty decent. On Saturday, got the new mixer. Actually passed up on going to a Several Species concert over at the Fillmore in Silver Spring. And stayed home and, set up the mixer. Spent the rest of the weekend doing the same. And then on Tuesday, the studio workstation, our Mac Pro, took a big, huge poopy. And so I spent Wednesday repairing it, and that's why we didn't record yesterday. But it's freshly re-imaged and a couple other things done to it. And it seems to be working rock solid right now. So can't say the same for Tom DeLonge. Tom DeLonge has left Blink-182 yet again. Now, if you remember, if you even care...
I don't.
Thanks for your input, hon.
Of course.
Tom DeLonge, basically in the middle of a tour, just left and went to do his Angels and Airwaves project, which, in its defense, Angels and Airwaves' first two albums were epic. You know, I can't really say I was all that surprised when Blink got back together, but I kind of questioned why. And when I heard their album that they did, I really wasn't fulfilled as much when I you know, as I was when I listened to their last album before breaking up, which is their self-titled album, which I thought was their best work yet. Earlier today, Blink-182 members Mark Hoppus and Travis Barker released a statement noting that founding member Tom DeLonge had indefinitely left the band, and that Alkaline Trio's Matt Skiba would replace the lead singer and guitarist for the band's upcoming set at Music Festival. Now, if you go on to look at Tom DeLonge's Twitter, he actually is claiming that he knew none of this, and that he never said he was leaving the band, and this is kind of silly.
Put down the crack pipe.
Yeah. I've always been a Mark Hoppus fan. Plus 44, which was his side project, only did one album, but I thought was insane. I thought it was of epic proportion, and hopefully now that Blink is no more, I'm assuming after this tour is over, I'd like to see Mark get back into Plus 44, and let's see what he's got.
I think they all just need to give it up.
They're musicians. They never give it up.
Yeah, so the Rolling Stones have proved. All right, on to talking about the Yodafone 2. We've talked about the Yodafone. We've talked about the Yodafone. And yes, I'm saying Yota, not Yoda, not the little green dude, Yota phone, too.
No Star Wars references?
No. Don't want to get a nasty gram from Lucas. I said Yota.
And you were saying that we talked about the Yoda phone. We mentioned back in December that the Yoda phone was coming out. If you don't remember, because we mentioned a lot of phones that episode, the Yoda phone is the one that's got the e-ink display on the back of the phone.
It was nifty looking, and from everything that I've read, which I'll be honest, hasn't been much, they said that the software that it was running wasn't really thought out. It was really more of a, ooh, that's nifty, let me get one, and oh, it works like shit. So, needless to say, it didn't do well. It didn't really get outside of Russia. So,
no.
Nobody really got to play with it. Now, the Yodafone 2 is coming out. It's been revamped. It's running a different version of Android.
And yeah, it's running KitKat 4.4.3.
And from what I've read in this article, the worst part about the phone is the camera, which, big whoop. I'm sorry. I'm from the mindset of the day where you had to, if you wanted a camera, you carried a damn camera with you. You didn't rely on your little crappy phone. You carried a damn camera with you. And yeah, you had to go get stuff developed, but still, you carried a damn camera with you. So
yeah,
that your phone has a camera in it, be happy. You don't have to lug around 18 different things.
The really cool thing about the camera that does just strike me as pretty nifty is the fact that you've got the rear-facing camera, which is 8 megapixel compared to the 2.1 megapixel front-facing. The rear camera is right above where the e-ink display is, and it allows you to turn the e-ink display on to do selfies. Now, I'm not one to do selfies. I'm not a selfie whore. But at the same time, if you have a reason to do a selfie, how awesome is that, that you can actually look at what the camera is displaying right there on the e-ink display?
That's cool. A lot of phones, when you do it with the front-facing camera, will show you what you're taking a picture of on the screen of said device.
Yes, but front-facing cameras are synonymous with being crappier than...
You're taking a selfie. How good does it need to be?
Well,
frankly, most people who look at your selfie don't want to see your fucking selfie. They don't care if you're wearing a new pair of socks or a sweatshirt. They don't care. They really don't care.
See, but what if I was OCD and a selfie whore?
You need to be on medication to help you with that.
Yeah. You know, my doctor tells me that too. But I don't know which doctor tells me, the one in my head or the one with the prescription pad.
Hopefully it's the one with the prescription pad.
Yeah, I can agree with that. The one with the prescription pad can actually get me drugs.
But seriously, if a 2.1 megapixel camera isn't good enough, in your opinion, to take a selfie of you that nobody wants to see anyway, put the phone down and walk away. Just put it down.
Yeah, something I don't want to walk away from is a new trailer. And quite honestly, it's not new. I don't even know why I put it in here. I am such a fanboy for Fast and Furious. The trailer for Fast Furious 7 came out in November, and we totally missed it. Carrie nor myself had actually seen it. And I'm not going to play it here because it kind of loses the essence when you're only hearing it. But, hey, here it is. Show notes. Go take a look at the link there.
Go check out Vin.
Yeah. And it's not just Vin. It's Vin. It's Jason Statham. It's The Rock. And, of course, Paul Walker is in it as well. And, rest in peace, young sir. Getting back to the beginning, when the first movie came out, I was made fun of constantly because I loved the movie. I am such a tuner freak. I love speed. And I thought the plot to be good. A lot of people didn't agree, and thus the poking. And when the second one came out, it was equally as good, and I loved it. And then Tokyo Drift came out, and it was like, okay, I guess I think the reason they put Tokyo Drift out when they did was because they just couldn't, they couldn't afford to pay Vin what he was asking. Vin Diesel, after the success from Fast and the Furious and then Triple X, he kind of got a little
Riddick.
Cocky. Well, yeah, well, Riddick was his own little thing.
The first one?
No, the first one wasn't, but it was an indie film, so that didn't get him major popularity.
He got
popularity.
His name out there. Sure it did.
All right, well.
He might not have made a lot from it, but it helped his popularity because it was a comic book character. And what do we know about people who love their comic books? They were willing to spend the cash.
Yeah. But when the third movie came out, it was Tokyo Drift, and it didn't have any of the stars from the entire movie. It was just, it had Han. We found, and spoiler alert, we found at the end of the movie, Han, or
how
in the middle
is
of the
a
movie.
Spoiler.
Well, and for people that are way behind the times,
then it doesn't matter.
You might want to fast forward a couple of minutes then. Han dies in the middle of the movie, and then, you know, a year and a half later or 2 years later, we see the next episode of the franchise, and Han's in it. And I'm like, what the hell? So it really left us scratching our head. It's like, all right, did you just, like, sink the boat here? Major plot sink. We found out in 6 that that the timeline for Tokyo Drift was actually after 6. So this is going to be the sequel to Tokyo Drift, and I absolutely cannot wait to see what Jason Statham, Vin Diesel, and The Rock have in store for us.
Well, the next story is also about a movie, and I can't say that I'm too enthusiastic about this.
Nor am
story.
I.
Then why did you put it in here?
Because I wanted to bash it.
Well, for one, Melissa McCarthy, can't stand her. Can't stand her.
I like the movie that she did with Sandra Bullock. I thought that was a great movie. Now, the roles that she plays, I agree. I can't stand the roles.
It's the same thing. She's a fat, slovenly piece of shit who has slight redeeming qualities and by the end of the movie has totally transformed into an upstanding, still slovenly person. Now, I'm from the mindset that I don't like remakes. Even when it comes to music, I don't like covers. Typically, there are the slight exception to that rule. When it comes to movies, when you're going to get rid of Dan Aykroyd and
Raimi.
Well, he's dead.
Yeah.
And Bill Murray, I'm sorry, but Bill Murray made those freaking movies. He was the star. Granted, he got a little cocky, didn't want to get slimed anymore, which kind of pissed me off. But to take and replace those men, and yes, I'm a woman, and I'm bashing the fact that they have all female Ghostbusters. Don't like it? Send me an email. But I can't stand Melissa McCarthy. Kristen Wiig, she can go somewhere. Leslie Jones, never heard of her. And Kate McKinnon, who?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell me, okay, you've got your token black woman to take the spot of the token black man in Ghostbusters. I guess McCarthy's going to probably be Murray. You know, I'm sorry, but she, no. No, no. She's not even as funny as Bill Murray's pinky. Sorry.
Yeah, and Bill Murray has been quoted to say that he might make a cameo appearance in the upcoming film. The thing that really just makes me want to scream is not only the fact that I too typically hate remakes or reboots, as they're calling them now. Here's a little background on Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, you know, you had the three movies, and like them, hate them, I'm not even going to get into that. I personally thought they were great, especially for the crappy movies of the 80s that we grew up with.
The first Ghostbusters is iconic.
Yes.
It's right up there with Back to the Future. You know, Ghostbusters 2 and 3 could have taken them, left them. You know, the first one was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. They put out a video game a couple years back, and it had the original cast. At least I believe it did, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the video game had Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramey, as well as Ernie Hudson. And it was basically a continuation. It was a video game version of what would have been Ghostbusters 4. And I'm totally behind that, because Ghostbusters fanboys were going to eat that stuff up. The thing that really gets me is earlier last year, Ivan Reitman backed out of it because Harold Ramey died. And I wholeheartedly respect that. But the fact that someone else is coming in and taking over on this idea of a reboot, I think it's, again, same reason I don't listen to traditional pop music. It's unoriginal, especially R&B pop. Or poppy R&B, whatever you want to call it. Hip-hop. You know, I don't like unoriginal.
Well, you know, considering that the man who wrote the movie is deceased and will have no hand in scripting this one, tells me right there that it's not going to do well. You know, and then you got the Cal trying to take over the reins of this franchise, and she's not going to be able to do it. Nobody wants to see her big ass rolling around in slime. Sorry.
Totally agree. I don't think this movie should be made, and I definitely will not be paying to see it. So,
and just for those of you out there, I am not a thin woman, so therefore I can say her fat ass rolling around in slime.
And to give Melissa McCarthy credit, she has recently lost, I believe, upwards of 50 pounds. So she's doing well.
If she turns around, she'll find it.
I wouldn't say that too loud, because we could probably find it for her. So that's all I got to say about that. I really do not agree that they are. I can't believe that they are going on to make this movie, especially deviating from the original, even the original sexes of the characters. No, just no.
Kind of like a Black Annie kills the movie.
Yes, although the movie, the new reboot of Annie, I did watch. All right, I'm going to back up and say yes. Yeah, totally agree. Redheaded Annie for the win. And speaking of for the win, got to give props to the French court system. The French court recently ruled against naming a child Nutella. You heard me right, people. Nutella. You know, the hazelnut spread tastes so good on toast with some bananas. Yeah, silence. That's what my reaction would be if I was in the court when it happened.
I have to say, bravo to the French government for taking steps to not have parents name their children things that are going to end up causing that child pain, whether it's just, you know, emotional pain from being picked on because your parents are retards and name you stuff that is easily made fun of, or physical pain because you get beat on, or you just, like in the U.S. with all the bullies, you know, kids get tired of it. They do one of two things if they get to a drastic point. They either kill themselves or kill others around them and then themselves. You know, the French government goes in, looks at what parents want to name their newborn children. They don't like it. They take them to court and tell them no.
Agree. And I totally back France. It's, you know, I don't back France's decision that they did have placed in law prior to 93, where the child would be named according to the saint's day on which it was born. And again, in 1993, the law was changed to enable parents to freely choose their baby's name unless it deemed contrary to the child's interests. Why is America so far behind? We have children being grown up with the name of Apple and Temptress. What the shit, people? Don't name your child after a car or a hazelnut spread, or
if the child gets to the age of majority and decides that they want to name themselves Spoon Liquor, they can go to court and have it legally changed.
Yeah.
Don't inflict that damage upon them during their school years, because everybody knows children are assholes.
Rightfully so. Speaking of assholes, let's get into the winners of the week. The number one winner of the week is, well, you've probably heard all about it already, but Marshawn Lynch from the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm here so I don't get fined.
Exactly. Let's go ahead and play a little bit of the clip.
Marshawn Lynch, it's your show. Take it away.
Y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Well, Marshawn went on for about 5 minutes while people at Super Bowl Media Day asked him various questions, and that was his response for every question.
I would love to be able to do that at work one day and go, I'm here so I won't get fired.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, you are there to do a job. He is there. He gets paid millions and millions and millions of dollars yearly to be on the field and be all that he can be. And to be there for media day, it's part of his contract. And, you know, to be there means to participate. Needless to say,
Homie just wasn't feeling it.
Well, he was feeling it when Skittles did a press conference.
That's because they're tasty.
They are tasty.
I'm thankful for the opportunity to have Skittles asking me questions today.
Hey, Marshawn, would you ever want to hang out with a talking rainbow?
I wouldn't want to hang out with nobody who talks at all.
If you could live on any planet after you retire from football, which planet would it be?
I'll stay right here on Earth. I kind of like it here.
Well, I don't kind of like the fact that he's acting like an ignoramus. And needless to say, he did eventually get fined for his publicity stunt at Super Bowl Media Day.
And if I made millions, $20,000, drop in the bucket, and I'd sit there and say, I'm here so I won't get fined.
Well,
because, and here's the other side of the coin, you say something that the team doesn't like, the NFL doesn't like, you'll probably still, what? Get fined. So, take the safe road and only get fined that $20K instead of, ooh, you shouldn't have said that. Ooh, you shouldn't have. Ooh, no, you shouldn't have said that.
Well, it would be better just not to be a dick. How about that?
Yeah, well, my slogan is, if you have one, you are one. Our next winner of the week is a UPS driver. Big Brown, you got some problems going on. Their driver got caught on a home surveillance system tossing that person's box over their fence and then, to top it all off, urinating on the house.
What the hell's wrong with people?
Maybe he didn't like the homeowner. Maybe he knew him. If it's the same route day in, day out, maybe he's had a run-in with him before.
You don't pee on some... I mean, come on. How many 7-Elevens are there along his
route? If Ozzy Osbourne can piss on the Alamo, why can't a UPS driver pee on your house?
Well, he got fined and I think arrested for that stunt. And, well, needless to say, the Houston area UPS driver has been fired. So, that should go to show him... pee in a toilet bowl.
That's no fun.
No. And the number three winner of the week is actually a duo. Two Worcester men were arrested Tuesday afternoon after state troopers spotted the Toyota SUV they were driving on Route 495 in Hopkinton. You know, I mean, travel ban, Tuesday night, blizzard. Think about it. Well... they pulled up behind these guys, and they found out that the SUV had been stolen.
And what looked like heroin in the vehicle.
You know, if you're going to steal a vehicle, I mean, I don't condone it. I think you're a piece of garbage if you do. But if whatever, if you're going to steal a vehicle, don't be stupid enough to have it out in public on a road during a travel ban. That's all I got to say about that. Andrew Cormier and Sean Jansen were charged with violating the state travel ban on top of grand theft.
Well, they're a little bit brighter than the next one.
Don't get me started.
Not by much, but a little bit. Apparently, a 400-pound welfare mooch refuses weight loss surgery because of benefit loss. Now,
sounds like my sister, doesn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately. I didn't think there'd be more than one piece of shit like that in the world, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
She has apparently managed to rake in over $100,000 in benefits, and she claims that she has a condition that causes her to gain weight. Yeah, it's called sitting on your ass and shoving Cheetos down your throat all day.
While playing games. I mean, looking at the picture, she's on her phone and she's got a PS4 controller right next to her?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's an Xbox controller.
Well, the phone is governmentally funded, so she's not paying for that. She's not paying for any of the crap that's laying there on the sofa within arm's reach, including, looks like a roll of toilet paper. That's scary. And... you know, the government even said, look, we'll pay for a gastric bypass surgery for you to help you lose weight. It'll help save your life. She won't do it.
No.
She will not do it because, oh my God, she might lose weight. She might end up having to get a job. And wouldn't that fucking suck?
Yeah. Now, the thing that really surprises me is this is actually coming from the UK and not the US. The US, this is common play. But the UK, you don't usually hear things like this coming from over the pond. Quite honestly, I think they should make it a law where you've got to do certain things to get certain benefits. And if you don't, your benefits get dropped like a bad freaking habit.
Well, it's kind of like with your sister. She was getting benefits without ever having had a job. Ever.
Well, no, she had a job for like 6 months at a Walmart.
If it was that long, I'd be shocked. And she got hurt through her own stupidity.
She was driving her moped and didn't stop at a red light and got T-boned and broke her femur.
Okay, so why am I paying for her stupidity? You know, I'm sorry. It's not my fault the better part of her dribbled down her mama's leg. Not my fault. I shouldn't have to pay for her to not work, spend money on her loser friends and all of their needs and necessities. Also, she doesn't have to get a job.
Yeah.
Because she's in pain.
It's totally unfair, and it's one of the top reasons that this country has gone to shit. And on that note, I think we're done with the winners of the week. It's been a good show. How about your thoughts on that?
Meh. It's all right.
Meh. You always say meh. What's up with that? Well, if you'd like to check us out, you can go to rogueintel.com. We do have a studio phone number. Feel free to call in, leave a message, or call in while we're recording, and we might put you on the air. The studio line is 410-989-1734, and we record at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Want to send us feedback? You can do so at prime@rogueintel.com, or you can go to the Rogue Intel forum. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we hope you have a wonderful night.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.